family. Remember that family in prayer, King Brother Nolan, his family in prayer with the death of his father. Amen. Continue to remember one another in prayer. It seems like they're starting to lift a few things with the virus, so people can get out a little bit more than they could. Some probably still a little bit worrisome about it, and so you do what you got to do. But if, hey, you'd like to come to church with gloves and a mask, amen, the gloves and mask as well, amen. Whatever you got to do, amen, to feel safe, amen, you do it, amen. So we don't want anybody worried about it either way, amen. So you keep these things in your prayer and do what you can do, amen, for the Lord. Esther chapter number 5, we dealt with it last week, the first 3 verses. We did it with it under the subject of a wise woman's banquet. Amen. Esther has called this banquet, amen, with her husband, Ahasuerus, and the old filthy Haman, amen. And in her wisdom, amen, she's going to get something accomplished to help save the Jews. So let's read the chapter again, Esther chapter 5, Wednesday nights with Esther, amen. Esther chapter 5, verse number 1. Now it came to pass on the third day, we saw the importance of that third day last week, that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she could, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew not near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom." And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed." Then answered Esther and said, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant me my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said." Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, "Moreover, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, "Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet." And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Let us pray. Amen. Brother Terry Brooks, pray for us tonight, brother.
Father, the words that you lay on the cross, Father, we pray Moses, you say to Father, into the hands of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray and ask the same in Jesus Christ's
name. Amen. Well, we're looking at a wise woman's banquet. Last Wednesday night, we looked at the first three verses that I've already said under the subject, favor of the king. And that's exactly what Esther found when she went in before the king, when she went in with the mentality, if I perish, I perish. And on that third day, she went in before the king and the golden scepter was put out to her and she obtained favor from the king. Tonight, we'll look at the verses 4 through 8 through the forbearance of Esther. And then next Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll look at the folly of Haman in verses 9 through 14. We'll look at verse 4 through 8 tonight. But before we do, turn with me to the book of Proverbs again as we did last study. Look at Proverbs 13. Talking about a wise woman's banquet. Amen. Proverbs chapter 13. Amen. Proverbs has a lot of wisdom. Amen. And I'm looking at this subject of the banquet and eating with wisdom. Amen. Proverbs 13. So read this chapter with me. There's 25 verses. And think about this thought, a wise woman's banquet. Amen. Wisdom is a lot of times in the book of Proverbs associated as a sheath. Sheath, meaning wisdom. Amen. But look at this wisdom here with eating. Proverbs 13 verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Kind of about where Haman is, amen. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. And this is what you're going to see take place in this passage, amen. Amen. The good person is Esther and Mordecai, and they're going to get favor from the Lord from the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor, he's going to eat violence. Haman's got his coming if you read the end of the book. He that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You know what you find at the end of this chapter that we just read? That Haman opened his mouth and then his wife opened his mouth. Then made this the thing that we're going to hang Haman, Mordecai on. And he's going to be hung on his own noose that he made for Mordecai. The Bible said in verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and have nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is lawsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet have nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet have great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention. So a lot of what Haman's problem is his own pride. The Bible says, but with the well advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. We're going to find out that Haman gets a lot of hope what he's about to receive, but that hope's going to be deferred and cut off, amen. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of a transgressors, is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is help. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. That he that loveth him chasteneth him big time. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of the soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Look back with me in Esther chapter number 5. We find this with the story of Esther here dealing with her wisdom at this banquet to try to turn away the decree that Haman has put forth with the help of her own husband under the mischief that he deceived him with. Amen. Let's look at the forbearance of Esther. And the word forbearance is a big word, but it's a biblical word. Amen. And the word forbearance means the exercise of patience. What you see in these verses 4 through 8 is Esther exercising forbearance or exercising patience in her life. It also means the restraint of passions. I mean, when he said, hey, what would you have us to do, Esther? What do you want? That I have of the kingdom, you can have it. I mean, she had to have some forbearance, some patience to restrain her passions, because her passions was like, I'd like to see this wicked Haman killed. But she waits another day. We'll see. It means to exercise patience, to restrain from passion, and command of a temper. She had command of her temper, amen. You find the word forbearance, by the way, found in Romans 2, verse 4, and also Romans 3, verse 25, is a New Testament word. Forbearance of Esther, the patience, the restraint of passions, the command of her temper. She had control of her emotions. She had forbearance, amen. Look in verse number 4 tonight. The Bible said, and Esther answered. The king said, hey, what do you want that I have for the king? And what is your request? The golden scepter's been laid out. She's before the king. She's got favor. He says, hey, what do you want that I have for the kingdom? It's yours. The Bible said in verse 4, and Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Amen. What do you see in verse 4? What I see is Esther's faith once again being shown. And that's what you see through the life of Esther. She's a lady of faith. And more, we need more people with faith of God in our lives, right? The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a reward of them that diligently seek Him. Hey, God honors faith. Without it, you can't please Him, amen. Hey, faith's given to us by the Word of God, amen. Esther was, was a lady of faith. She said, hey, if it pleases the king, she said in verse number 4, let Haman come this day unto the banquet, she said, that I have prepared for him. You know what Esther did before she got up that third day? She got up that morning and fixed a meal. She got up and fixed a banquet, a spread, because she went before the king with faith that God was going to honor her prayer and give her favor from the king and come back with Haman and feed him that night. That was faith, amen. She got up and prepared the meal. She expected an answer from the king. Well, that's the way we ought to live towards God, amen. Expect God to do great things, amen. Somebody said, expect God to do great things, attempt great things for God, amen. And we need more of that in our lives. Esther, in her forbearance, she had patience, but she had faith in what God could do. Amen. She said, I have prepared, let him come. What did the king say in verse 5? Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste. Hey, tell him to hurry up and get over here. Hey, my wife's got a meal already made. Yeah, I don't want it to get cold, amen. And he told him to make haste and come. And she brought him into the banquet and fed them that day, amen. You know what I see about Esther has prepared here? You know what I find out in my Bible? Our God has prepared some things for us. I mean, that Esther, by faith, had went forward and prepared a meal that she expected the king and Haman to eat that day. You know that our God, by faith, has went ahead and done some things and prepared them before for us and got it already ready, knowing that it's going to come to pass. That's why people went, where's the promise of His coming? Kind of like it was in the days of Noah. Where's the flood at? Where's the rain? Don't worry, it's coming, amen. And today they said, where's God? When's He coming? Don't worry. God's already prepared some things and He's coming back, amen. Our Father has prepared some things. Hold your place here in Esther. Look at me in the New Testament with you. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Our God has prepared some things also. He's got it ready, man. He's ready. You better believe He's ready. Amen. And as soon as He's ready, He's coming back to get us. He's prepared some things. Matthew chapter number 22. Why did He prepare it beforehand? Because He's going to need it. It's going to be needed. Why was that meal prepared by Esther? It was going to be it. Amen. It was already ready, and our God's already prepared some things for us. And y'all need to prepare some things for us, but you'll see He's prepared some things for sinners also. God's got the will already in motion. Matthew 22, look in verse number 3. Look at it in the lights of this banquet and eating. You know what He said? He said in verse number 2, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. You know what he's saying? Same thing Esther said. The meal's already ready. Amen. You just come and dine. Come get you some. Amen. If you want it, you can have it. Amen. Our God prepared a marriage and a supper for us, and it's yours to have if you want to come. Amen. He's already prepared it. Look at Matthew chapter number 25. He's prepared some things. You know what the problem is? He's got it ready and people don't want it. You know why people go to hell? They don't want what God's prepared. Do you know what God prepared? God prepared a way for you to escape hell. And He done it through His Son in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put a body, thou hast prepared me, is what He said. That body was made for the Lord to die on the cross for our sins. You know what? We don't want to come. We don't want what He's prepared. Well, we'll try it our own way. You go ahead and try it your own way. It ain't going to work. It's going to have to come the way He prepared it or it won't happen. Matthew 25, look in verse 34. The Bible said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be what? Fulfilled. That's chapter 24. 25 verse 34, excuse me. 25, 34. That's what I said. I read the wrong one, right? The Bible said, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know what he's asked? It's already done. It's already ready. Look down at verse number 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Look at this. Prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what God done? God prepared a place for the devil and angels. Where's that? That's a place of hell. That's a place of eternal fire. You know what's sad about people today? They go to a place that God didn't even make for them. God didn't make a hell for mankind. God made a heaven for mankind. You know what the problem is? They don't want God's heaven because they won't receive the body that was prepared for them. So they're going to have to receive the hell that was made for the devil and angels. Amen. God prepared a place. Did you know there's two places that have been prepared in the Bible? One of them's heaven and one of them's hell. And the choice is what you do with the body that was prepared for you. Yeah, Esther said, hey, I made it ready. Let him come. She said, he said, did I have the kingdom? You can have it. She said, I just want you to come eat. I prepared a meal. Why don't you come dine? You know what the Lord's saying? Come and dine. Amen. Hey, it's all fine. Come and dine. The Master said, come and dine. He's prepared. You know what the problem is? We don't want to come. We don't want to come. I like this one. He's not only prepared to hell, but you know he's prepared to heaven, hasn't he? Look in John 14. John 14. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. Doesn't matter what the Catholics say. Doesn't matter what the Pope says. Amen. There's either a heaven or a hell. There's a heaven to gain, old-timers say, and a hell to shun. Amen. There's one of the two. God prepared both of them, and the choice where you go is up to you. Just as he said, hey, all things have been prepared. The meal's ready. Why don't you come? Do you know what they say? They begin to make excuse. Do you know what people do today? God said, I prepared a heaven for you to go, and there's a hell prepared for the devil and the angels. You can choose which one you want to go to. You know what we do? We make excuse. Well, maybe later. Maybe after a while. Well, maybe, you know, your excuse ain't going to hold no water, amen. You better prepare, the Bible says, to meet thy God. You better prepare to come down with Him, amen. You surely don't want to be dining with the devil and his angels. People say, well, I'll just have a party in hell. You fool. There ain't no parties in hell. You know what's going on in hell? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness, amen. Torment. That's what's going on in hell. Hey, regrets what's going on in hell. That's what that rich man said. He said, go tell my brothers, amen. They won't come to this awful place. I wish I'd have listened. But your regret is what there is in hell. People say, well, I'll just take my chances. You're a fool. And you say, preacher, that's not a good word. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You're a fool. The Bible said in John 14, verse 1, I like this verse, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place for you. You know what He's done? He's prepared it. He's made it ready. Amen. God's got it ready. Amen. God's got it ready for you to come. All you got to do is come. The Bible said, and He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way, you know. You know what He said? I prepared a place. Amen. God's prepared a heaven. God's prepared a hell. God's prepared a way. What you going to do? You want to come? Hey, man, the banquet's ready. You want to eat? Yeah, I believe I'll come eat you some. I believe I'll come. And He comes to the banquet. He's prepared. God's prepared some things for us. Look back with me in Esther chapter number 5. God's prepared a heaven. God's prepared a hell. You don't hear much about that in the day we live in. People don't want to talk about hell, but it's a real place. And that's where people are going to go that do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but I'm a good person. It doesn't matter. Amen. Good people go to hell.
Amen.
Saved people go to heaven.
Yeah, amen.
That's the difference. Amen. So, well, I give to charity and I help out people. That's fine. I'm sure they are glad that you help them out. And you give the Samaritan Purse and the Shriners Hospital. Boy, that's good. They help a lot of kids and a lot of people. But it ain't going to get you a ticket into heaven unless you've been born again. You must be born again. God's prepared a way and you've got to come His way or no way. God's prepared it. You know what all these other ways are? They're ways of thieves and robbers. The Lord speaks about that. Look at Esther and her forbearance. Esther goes that third day. The scepter's laid out to her. She said, I prepared a meal. I made it ready. The king said, hey, Esther, what do you want? Did I have the kingdom? You can have it. And she said, well, just have Haman come eat that meal I made. Just come on, eat. You know what he does? He goes over there and they eat. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? You know what the king knew? He knew her request was not that they come eat. The coming to eat at the banquet was the wise woman's wisdom to get accomplished what she wanted to accomplish. She accomplished it over a meal. Did you know you can get a lot of things accomplished over a meal? Maybe there's somebody you got an aunt with or something you're going through and somebody, maybe you just take them out to eat and sit down and talk the thing over might help a lot of things. Sit down and spill the beans, amen. You know, don't really spill the beans, they might get mad. But you know, talk it over. Have a talk with them, amen. And the Bible said, he said, hey, what do you really want? What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even the half of the kingdom it shall perform. I mean, she's got it. I mean, the king's given her full reins, a blank check, said, what do you want? And in her forbearance, she restrains her passions. Instead of saying, wring his neck, she says, how about come back tomorrow and then I'll tell you. That's the forbearance of Esther. Her patience. What is she delaying? The Bible said, then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is. When you read the story and you read down through there, when she gets to that point, if you didn't know the whole story, you think she's fit to tell him exactly what she wants. This filthy Haman is wanting to kill out me and my people. He's wicked. He's deceived you. She said, my request is. I mean, I think she's fit to spill the beans. And in verse 8 she says, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I have prepared for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. There's the forbearance of Esther. In her patience, she restrains her passions. She takes command of her temper. Amen. Hey, anybody, you know, you put yourself in Esther's shape, but people try to do your family wrong. Hey, mama, when they try to do your little kids wrong, I mean, what do you want to do? You ready to tell them where to go, right? You ready to take up with your children. And God forbid they better not touch the grandyoungins, right? We all going to have a mess, amen. Hey, that ain't happening, amen. But she has forbearance and she has patience and she restrains her passions. And she says, we'll come back tomorrow and I'll let you know. Why does she say come back tomorrow? Why? What's the big deal? Why not tell him today? Well, you remember back in the study of Esther? Look in Esther chapter number 4. Look in verse number 16. She said this to Mordecai. When Mordecai said, hey, we got to do something. She said, if I perish, I perish. But here's what I want you to do. Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Look. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, a night or a day. I also, and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. You know what she said? She said, give me 3 days, 3 nights, fast and pray, and I'll go in. You know what she did? The third day she went in. It ain't been 3 days and 3 nights. Do you know when it's going to be 3 days and 3 nights? When she says, come back tomorrow. You know what she's doing? She's letting them people keep seizing this thing in prayer. She's showing her forbearance, her patience. She's restraining her passions. She felt it was right to step up that day and go in before the king that God had given her the green light. But it wasn't time. There were still some prayers that need to be prayed, some things that need to be done. Boy, we need to do us good to exercise a little bit of patience, some forbearance like that in our lives. I'd be the first one to say I'd be a lot better to have a little bit more forbearance in my life than to jump to God and put my foot in my mouth beforehand. You know what I have learned a little bit, and I ain't going to say I've learned it good because one might put me to the test, I fall flat on my face. But I have learned a little bit about people, and it's just to listen a little bit more. Just give them some time. Kind of like the story here, give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves. That's what he does. That's what Haman does. You give him enough rope, he'll get him. You give some people enough time and let them talk a little bit. Don't put your foot in your mouth. Amen. Have a little bit of forbearance. Amen. Don't step up to try to give some kind of judgment just right yet. Wait for the right time. Amen. God has a timing in all things. Esther delays it for more prayers. It was supposed to be done for 3 days and three nights. It was not time to go in. She said, and tomorrow, as the king has said, I'll let you know what my request is. Amen. She shows forbearance. This is the forbearance of Esther. You know what? You know how Esther prays? Look in verse 4. The Bible said, and Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king. King said, what do you want? Right? She touched the golden scepter. Hey, what do you want, queen? What is thy request? It should be given to thee the half of the kingdom. I mean, he's given a blank check, the green light. You can have it. You know what she says? She's given us a good model for prayer life in our lives today. She said in verse 4, if it seemed good unto the king. Now I know you've said to the half of the kingdom, but if it seemed good to you, if you're all right with it, if you're okay with it, king, look down to verse number 8. The Bible says in verse 8, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king. There's two things, two major ingredients that we need in our prayers when it comes to going to our King, our God, if you will. It's found in verse number 4. She said, if it seemed good unto the king. And in verse 8, she said, if it pleased the king, amen, to grant my petition. If it pleases the Lord, if it's all right with you, if it seemeth good to you, and if it pleases you, this is what I'd like to have answered in my prayer. You know what that is? New Testament interpretation of prayer. If it be God's will. If it seem good. That's what she said, right? If it's all right with you, if it seemed good to you, if it pleases the king, then grant my request. Our prayer should be just like this to God. If it seemed good to God, if it pleases God, if it's your will, how about answer this prayer? That ain't what you hear a lot of times today. People got this name and claim it prayer life. We're going to tell the Lord what to do. Well, you ain't going to tell the Lord nothing. Amen. Kind of like Esther here. The king said, half of the kingdom, you can have it. And she come up with her humble spirit and said, hey, if it seemed good to you, if it please you, boy, that's the way we ought to come before our God. Yeah, God said we can come boldly to the throne of grace, obtain mercy, and find grace to help at a time of need. And we're to go with a little bit of boldness. And the Bible speaks about confidence in our prayer life. But it ain't some kind of demand of the Lord. Say, how about you do this, God? I'm sick. How about heal me? God, my bills is low. How about pay my bills? That's about the way we pray. Sickness and money. Health and wealth. Amen, you know? That's about the way the world is. And we think we're going to claim God with health and wealth. And if we ain't got it, God ain't in it. Well, that's a big lie, ain't it? We ought to have some humility in our prayer life. Look at this. Look in John 14. If it seemed good. If it pleased the king. This is the way we ought to pray to our God. So we see her patience. We see her faith. We see her prayer life. And her forbearance. She exercised patience. She restrained her passions. She commanded her temper. You know what we do? Our temper commands us. Our passions restrain us, right? John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? John 14. Look at this in prayer. John 14. It's a little practice of prayer. She showed us a lot about prayer. If it seemed good, if it pleased the king, John 14, here's some verses people like to pull out of context to kind of demand God. Bible said in John 14, verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Did you ever ask the Lord something He didn't do it? I'll say yeah for you. If you prayed any length of time, you've asked the Lord to do something, He ain't done it. What happened? Why didn't He do it? The Bible said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You know what the charismatics would say? You didn't have enough faith, that's why He didn't do it. Like if you had the faith, God would have actually done it. If you'd have had the faith, you'd have had that big money. You'd have had that job. You'd have had that health. You'd have had that house. You'd have had that car. You just didn't have the faith. That's a bunch of lies, amen. The Bible said in verse number 13, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Is it going to give glory to God? I mean, you want God to answer your prayer. Is it going to give glory to Him? And if you ask it, are you asking in His name? You know what the principle is here? You better make sure it gives glory to God, number one. And number two, you better make sure you're going through the Son to get the Father. Now your prayer life ought to be in Jesus' name. Hey, God, how about help me with this? And if it be your will, do this. And if you're all right with it, how about take care of this? In Jesus' name I pray. You know why you say in Jesus' name? Because that's the access to the Father. Amen. We pray in His name. We worship in His name. We just don't worship in general. We don't pray in general. Your prayer life ought to be in Jesus' name. He said, you ask it in my name. That's what He said. He didn't just say that once. Look in John 15. Look in verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, stay attention to these verses. Because if His word abides in you, it's going to change a whole lot the way you think and pray. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the what? Word of God. You pray in faith. When are you going to pray in faith? Through the word of God. That word of God is going to motivate your prayer and give direction to your prayer life. Look, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Look down to verse number 16. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it unto you. Should never approach the Father without the unction of the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray under the power of the Spirit to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our access. We don't pray through Dagon, that old false god that Brother Tim read about just a minute ago. The one that fell before the Ark of the Covenant, amen, and they had to set him back up. And then he'd come find him the next day and his head broke off and his hands were broke off. We ain't praying to Dagon. We ain't praying to Allah. We ain't praying to Hare Krishna. And we ain't praying to Pope Francis or any other list of all the popes. We praying to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray. That's how you pray. And you pray that God's will be done. Look in John 16, verse 23. His word, His will, that He'll be glorified. This is the context of prayer life. When we're asking God to do something, it ain't giving glory to Him. It ain't according to His word. It ain't according to His will. John 16, 23, He said, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You know what God wants you to have? Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. How do you reconcile the verses of praying in God's name and God will do it? What is God saying? He will answer. Can I go to God and ask Him anything and He said He'll do it? How do you work that out? A lot of people preach it that way. You got a desire, you got a want, you ask it, the Scripture says He will do it. Look in 1 John 5. You know what the answer is? It's God's will, not ours. It's just like Esther. She said, hey, the king said, what is thy request? That I have of the kingdom, you can have it. She said, if it seemed good to the king. If it pleased the king. You know what that is in the New Testament prayer life for a Christian today in this dispensation we're living in? If it be God's will. If it be God's will. Look in 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence. You see that? Verse 14 of 1 John 5. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. You want God to hear your prayer? You want God to answer your prayer? And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. Do you know what Esther knew when she went in that morning? She had assurance of the Holy Ghost that I'm going to get the scepters laid out to me and I'm going to have access. I'm preparing a meal because they're coming back to eat. Confidence in prayer. That it is God's will to deliver the Jewish people from the evil Haman. That's God's will. God promised to take care of His children. And that was an easy prayer that God was going to do that. Amen. And Haman, Mordecai had already told her he's going to do it to you or somebody else. He had faith to sell. And that faith got a hold of her bones and got in her grit. And she went in there with some confidence to the king. And the king held out the golden scepter. She touched the top and he said, hey, what do you want? And in her forbearance and patience, she said, come eat. I prepare the meal. He gets over there to get to eat. And she says, hey, we're here. What do you want? She said, come back tomorrow and I'll let you know exactly what I want. She knew the 3 days and three nights would be up. The prayers had been seizing. God's people was calling out. And God was fit to do something for a people. It was God's will. Amen. You know what the problem is with our prayers? It ain't God's will. It's our lust. Amen. And we wonder, why don't God answer my lust? Do you know what? Because it ain't God's will to satisfy your lust. Most of all our prayers, we have to admit, is lustful. Take care of this. Heal this. Give me some of this. And God's faithful to do those things. And I don't want to sound like that. We shouldn't take those kind of things to God in prayer. God wants to take care of your finances. God wants to take care of your health. But it's going to have to be His will. He might let you live poor. It might be God's will for you to have nothing. It might be God's will for you to stay on that job with a bunch of backbiting, sorry people and put up with it and be a witness to them. Yeah, amen. But no, God can't be God's will. He let so-and-so get a job and they got him out. That's so-and-so. That don't mean it's your will for your life. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise. When we get to looking at somebody, well, they got this, why can't I have it? Because it ain't God's will for you to have it. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said, not where to lay His head. The birds of the air have nests, and the foxes have holes, and he had not where to lay his head. I mean, the King of glory came to live in poverty. That was God's will. Would you be willing to do it if it was His will for your life? What if it was God's will for you to live with a disease? I mean, you think people running around with certain diseases is a sin against their life that God's judging them? And God can judge with sickness and such of that fashion. But you think everybody that's got some kind of disease or got some born with some kind of defect that it was a judgment of God? God forbid. God done it that He might get glory, kind of like the blind man over there. He was born, who's sin? Not neither one. God done it for the glory of God. That's why it was done. And if God wants to get glory out of your life with a birth defect or some kind of disability that you have, God can do it. Just let His will be done in your life. It's not our lust. Look in James chapter number 4. She said, if it please the king, if it seemed good to you, Hebrews James, right before 1 Peter right here. James 4. You know, our problem is our prayers is lustful. Look in James 4:3. Look, well, read verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? You know, you can look at the context of the tribulation, but it's a very practical application of prayer. He said, come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You know what? We got a bunch of fightings because of the lust that's in our members. He said, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not, because you what? Ask not. What's the problem? What are you fighting? Trying to steal and beat somebody else down for it. Look here. You know what we do? He said, verse 3, you ask and receive not. Why not, Lord? Why don't we receive? I ask. He said, you ask anything according to His will, He'll do it. He said, if you ask it, I'll do it in Jesus' name. You know what our problem is? He said, ye ask and you receive not. Why not? Look, because you asked amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. That's why you don't get it. It's a lustful prayer. It's not God's will. Some lust that you have. But you know what Esther wanted? She wanted deliverance for the Jews. Do you know what Esther wanted when she went to prayer? Mordecai, they wanted wisdom from God how to fix this situation. Do you know if there's one thing God will dump a buttload of you on you is wisdom? You know what we need in our prayer lives? We need a lot of areas. We're talking about prayer. We need wisdom. Now, how to handle this? How to fix it? What does God want? You know how much that wise woman's bank was about to save a lot of people out of trouble? Do you know how much a wise person and wisdom from God can save a lot of trouble? If we'd eat at that banquet a little bit, we'd pull up at that table a little bit and eat a little bit of that wisdom. Sup on that cup a little while. Drink a little bit of that. Eat a little bit of that. How much it'll help us. We run around like a bunch of termites in a yo-yo. Not knowing where we're going and why we're going. And have no wisdom of God what in the world's going on. What are you here for? What do you go to that job for? Why did God give you that husband, that wife, those children? Why did God put you in this community, that community? Why did God let them people cross your path so you can lust and have and consume it on your lust? God forbid it. Look in James 1. We need a little bit of prayer like Esther had, Mordecai had. James 1, verse 5. The Bible said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When's the last time before you've done that thing you asked God for wisdom on? Is He God's will for you? Is she God's will for you? Is that place God's will? Is this God's will? Is that? Well, we need it, God. We've got to have it. But is it His will? He said, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. I mean, is this what you really want? The Lord gives Solomon a blank check and said, hey, what do you want? He said, I need wisdom to come in and out among your people. And God gave him that and much more. Do you know how much if you seek the godly things first that God might even give you some of the other? Now, he ain't got to, and he might not. But he could if he wants to. But we'd be a whole lot better seeking that spiritual before that physical. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added unto you. God take care of those things. You know what we seek in the things? We got it all backwards. Verse 7, for let not that man is double-minded, think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in what? All his ways. You see people, they don't know what they want. They don't know where they're coming or going. What does God want? You know what she said? King said, hey, half of the kingdom. We're here, we're eating, we're dining. What you want? She said, well, if it seemed good, if it pleased you, how about come back tomorrow and I'll let you know. Look in Philippians 4. You know what God wants? God wants to give you some wisdom. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, talking about prayer, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, we'll pray for everything, every time, all the time, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's three major ingredients in your prayer. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you know what God might give you when you ask Him? Peace. He might not give you the thing, but He might give you peace. And that's something you can't put a price on. She said, if it seemed good, how about come back tomorrow? If it pleased the king, you come back tomorrow and I'll let you know. It's a wise woman's banquet. You know what I say to you in closing? If you want to know what she does, come back next Wednesday. Just ain't right ready to give you what she wants right now. It's going to take another week. Or maybe two. Have a little forbearance. Restrain your passion. If you want to kind of, and if you're really intrigued, and I hope that's what preaching does, it really intrigues you to dig in and go read it and see what happens and, you know, get a little bit out of it. But this is a wise woman's banquet. She's taking her patience, her forbearance, restraining her passions to get the answer that she needs in the end. God, give us some wisdom to do His will. Forbearance. Amen. We saw last week the favor of the king. She got it. We see the forbearance of Esther. Next week we'll see the folly of Haman. Verses 9 through 14. Amen. Everybody stand.